So they are, Mary's teaching the Easter, the resurrection story, and walking the kids from the perspective of Mary is going to the tomb. And on, of course, on Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate, but the Easter Sunday morning when Mary and Mary went to the tomb, they were not going there looking forward to a resurrection. They were going there in mourning. And so the solemn walk to Sunrise Station. They'll figure out as they go from one room to the next room that he is risen and he's not here. So we'll look at this morning. So that's the reason why the quiet walk out. That was actually quite nice, wasn't it? Maybe we should do this every week. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. We've been working through Matthew the last couple of weeks as we've been looking at the crucifixion and the resurrection and Easter week. So we're going to be looking at Matthew starting chapter 27, verse 62, and then going through Matthew 28, verse 15. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." How do you prevent a resurrection? How do you stop a resurrection from happening? You don't. If God the Father Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, as we see in Genesis, by speaking it into existence, by saying, "Let there be light," and there was light, the one who created and put this all into effect, if he is the one who holds creation and sustains creation in the palm of his hands, if God wants to raise somebody from the dead, there is nothing you and I can do to stop it. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, tried to stop a resurrection. When Jesus died, Matthew said that many holy people rose from the dead. On Easter Sunday morning, they went into Jerusalem and appeared to many. But yeah, that's one thing in this whole story I would love to figure out. This is just an aside. Is Good Friday, when Jesus died, people resurrected. On Easter Sunday morning, they went to and appeared to. What would people must have thought when all of a sudden somebody that had died is now there? I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of a little bit freaked out. So here we have this resurrection that the religious leaders were trying to hide, cover, prevent. Matthew is very gracious here as we read. He said, the next day, the one after preparation day. So the day of preparation is before the Sabbath. Then on the Sabbath day, the religious leaders went to Pilate to ask him if they could seal up the tomb to make sure that this resurrection won't happen. Matthew's incredibly gracious because he could have written it in such a way, said that according and breaking all their own rules and all their own laws, the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders went to speak to him. I mean, they broke all sorts of their own rules and laws trying to get this whole thing covered up. They broke their own rules. They went to Pilate. They wanted to cover up a story and make sure that the disciples didn't steal the body of Jesus and then say, see, told you so. They felt that this deception would have been worse than the first deception, which Jesus said he was the Messiah. So they wanted to make sure that Pilate allowed them to make all the precautions to cover up the tomb, to roll a stone, to seal it. One of the translations and other passages say they sealed it with wax. So they put a wax symbol on it. So in the Roman Empire, and even before that, if you wanted to have a scroll and you wanted to seal it, you put a little bit of wax in it, and the king or the ruler would have a ring, and it would put the symbol in there, and you could tell if the scroll got open because the wax would be broken. So they put the seal on the tomb to make sure that they would prevent a resurrection. It's ironic, I think, that the Jewish leaders who didn't believe in the resurrection and didn't believe in Jesus knew the prophecies and knew what Jesus said and said, Jesus said he would raise himself on the third day or be raised on the third day, so we want to prevent this. And the disciples who all ran, who walked and followed Jesus, are the ones who didn't believe it. You see the irony? The ones who believed didn't believe that he would be raised, and the ones who didn't believe were trying to prevent the resurrection from happening. So they persuaded Pilate to place Roman soldiers outside the tomb. So Pilate, it almost as we were reading it, he almost is like, okay, take a guard, go make the tomb as secure as you know how. I'm done playing these games. I don't really care about your religious stuff. Just go. So he sent Roman troops to be stationed outside the tomb to seal it. And now the religious leaders have figured out, maybe smugly, they've got this thing covered. No way are the disciples going to come and steal the body now. But in doing so, they did more than what they knew. In doing so, trying to prevent a resurrection, that the disciples wouldn't get past a whole detachment of Roman soldiers, that they wouldn't be able to roll the stone away without somebody knowing about it, the chief priests and Pharisees made sure that there could be no nonsense about disciples stealing the body, and so they made sure that they proved that the disciples didn't do it. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, all the precautions that they made to show that the disciples didn't do it proved that the disciples didn't do it. And so we have the Roman guards. The Roman guards are at the tomb. There is a violent earthquake. An angel shows up. The well-trained warriors who are trained in the Roman army, they are ready for anything. They are ready for battle. The biggest, brawniest, toughest, most ferocious people, these guards, were ready for anything. They're stationed there, and an angel shows up. And they were prepared for everything but that. They were not just slightly disturbed. They were not just caught off guard. They did not just bumble around till they figured out what to do. They were terrorized with fear, and they froze solid in terror. The Roman guards were literally scared stiff. They couldn't move. So then Mary and Mary show up. Angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." Do you see the humor here? Do you see the humor that the well-trained Roman warriors are frozen in their boots and the two defenseless women are walking up? Well, they are just standing here like this, and two defenseless women are walking up, and the angel says, "Oh, don't be afraid. You're good." It's just the humor of the situation, the ironies in the story, as Matthew tells us. The angels ignore the scared-to-death soldiers, and they talk like everyday conversation to the women. "Don't be afraid. It's okay. This is just as Jesus said. Come in, take a look, see that he's not here. He's not here. Okay, now go tell his disciples, go out. This is where he was. The tomb's empty. Jesus has been raised, just as he said. And go tell the disciples." How do you prevent a resurrection? You don't. When the Lord God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth by speaking it into being and put everything in place that's here, that holds everything within the palm of his hand, if God wants to raise somebody from the dead, there's nothing you can do to stop it. So they went to find the disciples with great joy, with a little bit of fear, maybe just a lot of fear, but with some fear, and with great joy. And along the way, they met the risen Christ, and they worshiped him. And they were sent off to tell of his resurrection. So the Roman soldiers, after they came to, are looking at the situation like, okay, now what do we do? Roman soldiers are there. They were put under the command of the religious leaders by Pilate. So the guards went to the chief priests and the religious leaders and reported everything that they saw, that there was an earthquake and the stone was rolled away and an angel, I love the picture, the angel rolled away and just sat on it. Like, boop, that was easy. Okay, what did you see here? Angel rolled away, sat on it. The Roman guards were frozen. Mary and Mary came. The angel had a conversation and they're just like, not able to do. So they go back and they tell the religious leaders of this, that the resurrection had occurred. But if you were a Roman guard, that must have taken an incredible amount of courage to go and report what they had seen and heard. It would probably have been nicer to go to the religious leaders than the commander, better to explain it to them than to go to your commander right away. The punishment for a Roman soldier losing a prisoner was death. You lose a prisoner, it gets away, your life is done. But they had no choice. The tomb was empty. Anybody could see that. So the chief priests now had a choice. They could admit that he was the Christ, that he is raised from the dead, or they could deny it. It really is the same choice that all of us face. It's the same choice we face on an Easter Sunday morning. Are we going to admit that Jesus is the Christ, or are we going to deny it? Instead of saying that he is the Christ, they conspired a cover-up, went into damage control. They got to account for the empty tomb somehow, right? So the chief priests and the Pharisees, who really didn't get along, worked together to come up with this elaborate story, and the story that would limit the amount of damage, then they had to come up with some concoction to explain it. So they made to make sure the truth never came out. So they used bribes and lies. Why does it always come down to bribes and lies? They'd pay off the soldiers with a considerable sum of money to be the fall guys. Well compensated fall guys, but they'd be the fall guys. We're just going to pay them off and let them. So what's the story that they came up with? The exact story that they were trying to prevent. Ah, the disciples came and stole the body. See the irony? The irony is that they spent all this time trying to cover up the disciples stole the body. The body's gone because of the resurrection. And now they're trying to come up with a story, and all they came up with is the disciples stole the body. How ridiculous of a story is that? All the guards were asleep? Guards would not have been asleep. Roman guards would not have been asleep. They would have been there. They would have been awake. They'd have been ready. They would not have been sleeping. The penalty for falling asleep and letting your prisoner escape, as we see in Acts chapter 12, verse 19, with the Philippian jailer, as the angels in Acts chapter in Acts broke out all the prisoners. No, they broke out the doors. All the doors fall off. They could have all left. And what happened? The prisoners were still there. And they said, "Don't kill yourself," to the guard, because we're all still here. He would have died either way. So he figured, I might as well kill myself instead of being killed by my superiors. But he didn't. Asleep, really? How would they have been asleep if a huge stone was rolled away from the front of the tomb while they were still sleeping? That had to have made a whole bunch of noise. Asleep? Really? Even if they did sleep through the rolling of the stone away from the front of the tomb, a bunch of people coming in and carrying a dead body out of there would not have been a quiet moment. I don't exactly know how big Jesus was, probably not as tall as I am, but even if he was 5'10 and 155 pounds or something like that, that's not something you just easily throw over your shoulder and just haul away. No, they wouldn't have slept through that. And if they were sleeping, how would they know it was the disciples? I mean, really, it does not take very much thought to put holes in their story. If you were sleeping, how did you know it was the disciples? You were sleeping. Nope, the disciples came. So you got this ridiculous story that they came up with, but you know what? They got paid off really well. And so they took the fall for it. And then they said, if there's a commander that has problems with that, let them know. And what? How did they phrase that? Let me look. If the report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. I'm guessing that was another bribe. Just purely a guess. But they come up with a story as they're desperate to deny the truth. The guards agree to be implicated for negligence of duty. The tomb is empty. And besides that, who's going to believe that there were angels there? Roman soldiers didn't even put up a fight. The Jewish leaders with their backing help them escape punishment, and they get paid off for a good sum of money. At least they had someone in a high place who would make sure their story was believed. And so the Jewish leaders and the Roman superiors agreed. Soldiers took the money and went home. The irony is that the story that they worked hard to prevent is the exact story they came up with, and exactly the proof that they needed that the resurrection was real. As Matthew writes this 20 years later, he said, the story is still going around that the disciples stole the body. And if you read people who are writing today, the story is still going around that the disciples stole the body. The question we have to ask ourselves at Easter is, what is our response? What is our response to an empty tomb? What is our response to a risen Lord? What is our response that he is not here, he is risen? Mary and Mary believed and praised God. The chief priests and Pharisees knew the tomb was empty, but they denied it. What is our response? We could argue, we don't know the historicity. Make sure I get that one right. We don't know the historicity. We don't know that it is historically true that it was an empty tomb. But from that standpoint, we would be really pretty bad scholars. For Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each independently wrote of the resurrection. There are also, Mark was written as early as AD 37, 7 years after the resurrection. In the ancient literature of that time, something within 7 years written of an event is actually absolutely phenomenal. That something's written that closely and it is historically accurate. Matthew was written within 30 years. And so the historical accuracy of the Gospels as written literature is solid. I mean, we don't have writings of Plato and Socrates and Aristotle till years and years, like 50, 7,500 years later. Nobody questions that. There are also 39 other ancient sources that tell the facts of Jesus' life, of his teaching, of his crucifixion, and his resurrection. 7 secular sources point to the fact that Jesus is God. Secular sources, not in the Bible, written by people who didn't believe. So they said Jesus said he was God. But did Jesus rise from the dead? British theologian Michael Green says, the appearances of Jesus are as well authenticated as anything in antiquity. There can be no rational doubt that they occurred. If you want a great book on that, Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ. He was a Chicago Tribune investigative reporter and an atheist. He said, this whole Jesus thing is a bunch of fill in the blank. And I'm going to go and disprove it. So he investigated it as he would investigate anything as an investigative reporter. And he came to the point in his investigation, he figured out that there is so much evidence that points to Jesus Christ being who he is and what he said that I can't do anything but believe it. And reluctantly, he would write, reluctantly he believed. He wrote about that in The Case for Christ. Amazing book. The tomb is empty. Chuck Colson, anybody know that name? Watergate scandal, became a Christian. He was one of the, in President Nixon's cabinet, he was one of the 12 politicians and upper-level people that knew about Watergate. He writes this after he became Christian, after he spent many years in jail, he met Christ in jail. He says, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? He says, because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured it if it were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. This Easter, every day of our lives after Easter, we celebrate an empty tomb. We believe that the tomb is empty. That doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It really doesn't. What takes faith is that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is who he says he is, that he makes the difference that he came for. The question is, what is our response? Will you believe that Jesus died for your sins, took the punishment on the cross that you and I deserve, rose again to conquer death so that we would have life? That's the question. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Who do you believe? Let's pray. Lord God,